All right. How many here enjoy studying the Bible? The Word of God, okay. I love getting into the Word of God. Tonight's message is what to do when you don't know what to do. Have you been in that place in your life where you just don't know what to do? Maybe you're there tonight. Maybe you're dealing with a tough situation in your life tonight and you just don't know what to do. You know, in 2014, I think back to my own life, my wife and I were living in a very small condominium. It's one bedroom. The bills were low, but the neighborhood was not the safest, you know. And I liked it just because the bills were lower and we were living there. But she was saying, Jonathan, you know, we need to grow and we need to move on from this place if we're going to start a family and live in a safer neighborhood. So I knew to do that, I'd have to buy a freestanding house, which would cost more, but it would give us a safer neighborhood to raise a family. So I was faced with two options. We can stay in this small little apartment-like residence and have the bills be really low, or I could buy a larger freestanding home where the bills would be higher, but the neighborhood was safer. See, I was in a tough place in my life faced with two different options. And you know, in Scripture, there were a number of people that were stuck in tough places. And one of them in the Old Testament was Naaman. Anybody here ever hear of Naaman? All right, we're going to read about Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. And here we go. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy, a skin disease. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. That's a lot of value right there, worth a lot of money. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending you my servant Naaman, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." Verse 7. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." So basically, you know, when the king of Israel received this letter, he was like, only God can raise somebody back from the dead. Likewise, only God can cure a person of leprosy. Why is the king of Aram making this request of me, knowing that I as a human being cannot cure a man of his leprosy? He knows he's asking me to do something which is impossible for a human to do. He's just trying to pick a fight with me. And so he tore his robes. Verse 8, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent them this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned off and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, Would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? Verse 14. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. How many would agree here tonight that Naaman was in a tough spot in his life? He was stuck. You know, he wanted to be healed of his leprosy, of this skin disease. Would you agree? But he also knew at that time that there was no cure for leprosy medically. You know, Naaman was at his wit's end. He did not know what to do, humanly speaking, to be cured of his leprosy. But spiritually speaking, he did a couple of things which caused God's healing of his leprosy to manifest in his life. And these couple of things that he did, we can imitate in our own lives when we're stuck in a tough spot, when we don't know what to do. We can imitate what Naaman did. So, number one, what did he do? He asked for help humbly. Remember the letter from the king of Aram, right? Verse 6, the letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. That letter was what? That letter was a demonstration of humbly petitioning for help. You know, when he showed up at the door of Elisha's house, Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. He was what? He was petitioning humbly for help. He was asking for help, right? So my question to you tonight is this. What tough spot are you in today? Naaman was in a tough spot. He wanted to be healed of his leprosy, but he knew there was no known cure for leprosy at that time. He showed up humbly at the house of Elisha, asking, petitioning for help. So again, what tough spot are you in today in your life? Maybe it's about a move. You know, you might be facing, should I stay in Tulsa or should I move to Muskogee or another city? You know, maybe it's for some of the ladies, maybe you really like two different men. Let's say Harry and Tom, and you're wondering, man, I like them both a lot. But which one should I marry? Which one should I marry? I'm in a tough spot. It's a tough decision to make. I don't know what to do. You know, maybe it's, for some of you, it's concerning a job. Maybe you have two job offers. You've got job A, which offers you more money per hour but less benefits. And then you've got job B, which offers less money per hour but greater benefits. You're in a tough spot. You've got two options. You're stuck in between. And you don't know what to do. You don't know what decision to make. Has anybody ever been there? And maybe you're there tonight. My word of encouragement to you is this. Don't fall prey to self-sufficiency, relying on your own mind to try to get out of the tough spot that you are in. You know, I'm preaching to myself tonight. You know, some people, when they get into a tough spot, where do they go? And maybe this is you, maybe this has been you. They might go to Google and ask Google what Google thinks. Or you might go to ChatGPT to see what it advises you to do. You got to be going to God, friends. You need to be going humbly to God and seeing what God thinks about your situation, what God's advice is concerning your situation. You know, self-sufficiency, our little boy Asher. I love in the morning combing his hair, just brushing it just right before he goes to the bus stop. Love brushing his hair, getting it just right before he goes to the bus stop. Well, a couple of months ago, he said, Daddy, I can do it all by myself. I can brush my hair all by myself. And I tell him sometimes, but Asher, I want to do it this morning. No, Daddy, I can do it all by myself. I can brush my hair all by myself. He's a self-sufficient little guy, you know, and God wants to brush you with his help, with his guidance, with his direction. But if your attitude is, I can do it all by myself, I can figure it out with my own mind, with Google helping me, or the advice of a family member or a friend. Guess what? That's an attitude of self-sufficiency. That's an attitude of self-sufficiency. And if you got this attitude of self-sufficiency, I'll say pride, and thinking you can figure it out with your own human mind when you're in a tough spot, guess what? You may not make the best decision. You may not get the direction and guidance from God that you are needing. So in prayer, you need to ask God humbly and say this, God, I can't figure this out. God, I am fully dependent upon you. And God will speak and guide you if you ask in humility. What does James write in James 4:6? He said, God resists the proud, but he gives favor to the humble. God resists the proud, but he gives favor. He gives guidance. He gives direction. He gives help to those who are humble. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:7? He said, ask and it will be given to you. If you're in a tough spot tonight, you've got two options. You don't know what to do. Ask God. Cry out to God in humility and say, God, I am fully dependent upon you. God and myself, I cannot do this. God, I need you. And I guarantee that if you pray that way to God, if your life is in open communication with God, you will receive a word from God. You will receive guidance and direction and help from the God who created you and me. So what did Naaman do in humility? He asked. He asked for help. He showed up at Elisha's house. He asked for help. It took humility for him to show up at the prophet's house. And he asked for help. We, friends, have to be humble in asking God for help. We have to do away with self-sufficiency, trying to figure it out with our own minds and say, God, I come to you. Please tell me what you're wanting me to do. Number two, Naaman decided eventually to listen. So he asked first, right? He was in a mode of asking, petitioning help, and then spiritually he was listening eventually. All right, so what did Elisha say? What did God say to Naaman through Elisha the prophet? Verse 10. Elisha sent the messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. You see, Naaman heard what God was wanting him to do through the prophet, but his pride got in the way of him listening for a moment. What does he say? I mean, he just has this overreaction. Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. His pride got in the way of him listening for a moment, you know. And it didn't make sense to him that God was asking him through the prophet to dip in the Jordan River, because these mountain-fed rivers of Damascus, Abana and Pharpar, were crisp, cold, clean, whereas the Jordan was not as clean. It was a muddier river. So in his mind, he's like, man, the circumstance just doesn't make sense. I'd rather dip in these clean rivers than in the Jordan River. And he was trying to figure it out with his own mind, right? He was letting his pride get in the way. And, you know, there's a difference between hearing and listening, right? There's a difference between hearing and listening. Naaman heard what God was saying through Elisha. What was he saying? He said, go to the Jordan and wash yourself 7 times, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. He was hearing it, but he wasn't really listening. You know, when you're listening to what God is telling you to do, the implication is that you're attentive. You will actually do what you're being told to do. You know the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6:4. It says this. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This word here is Shema. It means to hear attentively. Listen, O Israel. Obey, O Israel. Right? And so, through a little bit of convincing through his servants, he decided to listen. He decided to listen. You know, my wife, a lot of times when we have discussions, she says to me, you're not listening exactly to what I'm saying. You know, and we all have to improve on listening. So, as I said, Naaman was hearing what God was saying, but he was arguing with it. I thought you would just wave your hand over my leprosy. I thought you would tell me to dip in these clean rivers of Damascus. He was hearing it, but he had not yet transitioned to listening. But between verses 11 and 13, Naaman had a change of heart, right? Through the convincing of some of his servants. He humbled himself and decided to do what? Instead of just hearing, he decided to listen to what God was saying through the prophet. And he did what? He dipped 7 times in the Jordan. He went from just hearing to listening. You know, when you hear something, you can choose to ignore it. But when you're really listening to God, you're attentive. You will do what God is telling you to do. For a moment, as I said, Naaman was just hearing the word from God. Go dip. Go wash 7 times in the Jordan. But just a few moments later, he decided to listen, to actually do what God was saying to do through the prophet Elisha. And he did what? He dipped 7 times in the Jordan, and his flesh became like that of a young boy. In listening, he was showing what? In listening, he was showing what? He was showing that he trusted God. He went into the Jordan, dipped 7 times, trusting, taking God at his word, that his flesh would be restored. Verse 10. And because he listened and obeyed, his flesh was miraculously restored by God. In his listening, he showed that he trusted God, that he had faith in God, that he took God at his word, right? He went, he took the legs that God gave him, he walked into the Jordan and dipped 7 times. That showed that he trusted God, he had faith in God. And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight, when you honor God with your faith, he will reward you with the miracle, with the help, with the direction that you need in your life. So if you find yourself tonight in a tough spot with 2 options and you don't know what to do, you need to do spiritually the things that Naaman did. What did he do? Yeah. He petitioned. He asked humbly. You need to ask God in humility, God, what are you wanting me to do? I'm not going to try to figure this out with my mind. I'm putting my mind aside. I'm putting aside family members' opinions, and I want you to lead, guide, and direct me by your spirit. You need to ask, and then you need to not hear only, but you need to listen, to hear attentively what God is telling you to do, and then take action with what God has told you to do. And when you take action with what God has told you to do, it shows that you have faith in God. You're honoring God with your faith. And when you honor God with your faith, he will reward you with the miracle you need in your life. Is that making sense here tonight? And God is going to want to speak to some of you in the coming days about what he's wanting you to do with the tough spot you're in your life, you have in your life. He's going to speak to you. The question is, will you listen attentively? Will you Shema? Will you listen attentively and actually do what God is telling you to do? Will you listen? I think I've got time. I'm going to read this little illustration here. Asking humbly of God. All right. So, an ancient legend tells of a monarch who hired some people to make tapestries and garments for him. The king gave the silk and the patterns to the employees with strict instruction to seek his aid immediately if any difficulties arose. Among the workers was a young child who was selected because he was especially skilled in weaving. The boy, left to work by himself, made quiet and steady progress while the others were distressed by their many failures. One day they gathered around the youngster and inquired, "Why are you so happy and successful while we are always having trouble? Either our silk becomes tangled or our weaving varies from the pattern. Don't you remember the words of the king when he told us to send for him whenever it was necessary?" asked the lad. "We finally did ask for his assistance," replied the others, "but by then things were so snarled that now it will take days to unravel our mistakes." "Didn't you notice how often I called for him?" he inquired. "Yes, but he's very busy, and we thought you were wrong in disturbing him so frequently." "Well," replied the young weaver, little weaver, "I just took him at his word, and he was always happy to help me." You got to take God at his word. Ask, and you will receive. If you're facing a tough spot in your life, do I take job A or job B? Do I marry Harry or Tom for the ladies? You know, do I stay in Tulsa or move to another city? If you're in the middle of some difficult options in your life, just ask God's advice. That's the only voice. You need to be getting orders from headquarters. He knows your life beginning to the end. We serve an omniscient, the omniscient God. And God will speak to you. When you ask humbly and you pray to him and say, "God, I need your direction," God will speak to you and give you what he wants you to do with your life. He will speak to you. He'll speak to you through his word. He'll speak to you maybe through a minister that you respect. He can speak to you with that green light, that still small voice of peace on the inside of you. God will speak. The question is, will you listen attentively, and do what he's telling you to do? If you listen to what God is telling you to do, after you ask, you attentively listen and you do what he's telling you to do, it shows him that you've got trust and faith in him. You're honoring him with your faith in him. And he will reward you with the miracle, with the help, with the direction, with the guidance you need to get out of that tough place, that tough spot in your life that you may be in today. Will you listen? Will you listen to what God is telling you? Taking God at his word that the promise he has given you will become real in your life. God is not a man that he should lie. If God has promised you something, and he has told you, "This is what I want you to do," even if it doesn't make sense in your mind. For Naaman, it was to dip in the Jordan River. That circumstance did not make sense. He was like, "Man, the Jordan River is not a clean river. It's a muddy river. The rivers of Damascus are cleaner. They're better. They're cold. They're crisp." It didn't make sense in his mind. But even though it didn't make sense, he did what God told him to do eventually through the prophet Elisha. And he received his healing. And God wants to do the same in your life. He may ask you to do something. He may say, "Yes, I want you to move to this other city." And in your mind, it might not make sense. You might be thinking, "Man, I don't know anybody there. I have no family or friends there. And God, you're sending me to that place." It may not make sense in your mind, but I encourage you, like Naaman, listen attentively, do what God is telling you to do, and he will bless your life. You've got to ask, you've got to listen and do, and as you listen and do, it's showing God that you've got trust and faith in him, that you're taking him at his word, that his promise, you're telling him that you believe his promise will become real in your life. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that God exists and that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So I'm going to go back to my personal life in 2014. So basically in 2014, I was in that tough spot. Should I stay in this small place or should we buy a freestanding home? I was in a tough spot, two options. And it was like my spirit was crying out to God. I was praying to God, and we looked at over 70 homes in 2014. And one specific house that we looked at the very beginning kept coming up on the inside of me. It's just this house. It was a good house. And we looked at many other houses afterwards. And through a series of offers, I felt like God was saying, that's the house for you. Act on it. I was trying to listen attentively, and I did act on it. Through a series of offers to the seller. She was a tough one to negotiate with, by the way. Through a series of offers, she was an 88-year-old lady. She was tough to negotiate with. Through a series of offers to the seller, we closed on that home in December of 2014, and it's a safer place to live. It's a great place to live. We're raising a family there, and we just love it. God has blessed us, and God wants to do the same in your life. Is that good news here tonight? And so I don't know exactly what you're dealing with tonight. God knows, and you know the tough spot that you might be in, the difficult decision that is facing you. Don't try to figure it out with your own mind. Don't talk to Google. Don't talk to ChatGPT. Don't ask Mom if she thinks Harry or Tom is better. Talk to God. Ask God in humility and say, God, I can't do this on my own. I am fully dependent upon you. And then listen and act upon what God is telling you to do. And you will see the miracle working power of God, His provision, His guidance become real in your life. Is that good news? All right. Maybe as some of you who are listening tonight, you might have thought, well, you know what? I've never even accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Being guided by God, receiving His miracle-working power begins with accepting His Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior and Lord. If you've never accepted Jesus, you have the opportunity tonight. If there's somebody out there that has never accepted Christ and you want to do it tonight, raise your hands. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Anybody out there tonight? You've never accepted Christ, but tonight you want to do so for the first time. If God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit, don't ignore His voice. Because remember, the next hour is not guaranteed us. If you were to slip into eternity in the next hour, do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you would be in heaven with God, with Jesus? Maybe everybody here has accepted Christ, but maybe there's some of you out there tonight that have fallen away from Jesus. You have slipped away. But tonight you want to re-give, you want to rededicate your life back to Christ. If that's you, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. All right, sir, stand up. If God is whispering to you by His Spirit, don't ignore His voice. Anybody else want to follow their lead? You're wanting to re-give your life back to Christ. There's not another moment to waste, friends. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else want to follow their lead? Doesn't matter what somebody in front of you, behind you, to the left or right thinks. It's only what God thinks about you that really only matters. All right, anybody else? All right, those standing up, come forward to the altar, please. Come to the altar. Those that stood up. Anybody else want to follow their lead tonight? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. There's not another moment to waste. Remember, tomorrow is not guaranteed us. All right. So those at the altar tonight, repeat this prayer. So, dear Jesus. Dear Jesus. Repeat this prayer. Dear Jesus. I thank you for dying upon the cross for my sins. I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. I've said and done some bad things. But tonight, I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. Again, be my Savior and my Lord. Give me the strength by your Spirit to follow you the rest of the days of my life on this earth. Jesus, I love you. And when I leave this earth, I look forward to seeing you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Give them a hand tonight. And for those who recommitted your lives to Christ, there's certain things you could do, disciplines you can practice, spiritual disciplines, to remain close to Christ. You need to be getting into the Word on a consistent basis. You need to be crying out to God, asking God humbly to help you, right? You need to find good, solid Christian friends and continue going to church services, Bible studies, all right? May God richly bless you, brother. You want to close it off? All right, go ahead.
But